Good morning. Very good. Welcome to Little Swatara Church. One of the things, I have two challenges for you this morning. Please remember to sign the attendance register. If you're a guest, please leave your address so that we can communicate with you in the future. Other announcements, read your, I shouldn't have to say this, but read your bulletin. I am guilty of that. There's so much in the bulletin, and not during the sermon. I scored some points there. Take notice of that. Also, the Women's Fellowship is asking you, today is the last day to order subs. The change in the ordering format is because one of the suppliers that they get the ingredients for the subs needs the order in a week earlier than they used to. So it seems like it's so far ahead. But please make your decision. The sign-up sheets are out in the Narthex. Any other announcements, Tom?
So if you've never been to Love Feast before, we really strongly encourage you to come out to Love Feast. And of course, that's right after the second service. So we would truly enjoy your presence at Love Feast. And we'll be sitting as families. So the men will be dismissed for feet washing during that time. And the women will be dismissed separately. So you'll get to sit as families. So we encourage you to come on out to Love Feast next Sunday after the second service.
I have a question. You yes. keep mentioning feet washing. We have a hand washing ceremony. Are we going to have that?
Still be the hand washing as well, yes. And you can just observe if it's your first time and you want to observe, that's totally cool as well.
And then the Sunday after that, October 12th, we have our 50th celebration of this building. We're having a picnic after the service during Sunday school so they can get set up downstairs. Tessa Gerberg is going to have a presentation up here in the sanctuary about her time in Nigeria. And I know she'd like to start a little early. She'd like to start at 9:15 with some singing and have it kind of be a little bit more like a traditional Nigerian service, at least to start. And then she said she will be open for some questions if you have any questions about her time in Nigeria. So we will be meeting not next Sunday, this Sunday after that. And there'll be an announcement in the bulletin as well up here for Sunday school. Thank you.
Any other announcements?
So this Sunday, October 12th, it's looking like it's going to be a big day. But I'm going to make it even bigger, because it's also our harvest home on Sunday, October 12th. So listen, we want a harvest home, if you know what I mean. So they're giving us a corner up here on that day, and we want to fill that corner up. Okay, so your non-perishable items, start bringing them in. We'll start collecting them. We'll start getting them organized. And then if you have any perishable items that you want to bring, we'll be here at 9 a.m. on October 11th to get everything set up so you can start dropping things off on that day. There's a rumor going around, I don't know if it's true, that a pumpkin is going to show up next week to make this announcement. I'm not sure what that's all about.
Any further announcements? Okay, now the next challenge is you need to get up and greet 5 people.
Thank you.
Okay, well, you may stay standing. And please turn, I don't think there's another call to worship, so I'm going to ask you, or do you have one?
What?
Call to worship. Please turn to 662. Is that where I'm at? Call to worship, okay. Come, let us worship. We are the people of God's pasture. Come, let us worship and bow down. We are the sheep of God's hand. Come, let us worship and bow down before the Lord our Maker. For the Lord is our God, and God deserves our worship. And please turn your hymnals to number 344. We now come to our time of joys and concerns. He'll be coming around. There is a list in your bulletin. Some of them you know about. Dennis Keeney is in a hospital in the Harrisburg area. What is it, Holy Spirit? He is having various tests done. And you can see the other ones in there.
Is it on?
Yep, you're on.
I have a joy. Today, the whole community gets together at 10:30 at the Grove next to Miller's Auction Center for a worship service of the whole community. And they're using our old red hymnal to do the hymn singing, and they're hoping a lot of brethren come to help make it joyous because they hear that the brethren sing so much. And the faithful men will be singing before the service and after the service. So we'd look forward to all of you coming to Bethel.
We want to celebrate marriages this morning. This Thursday, October 2nd, will be 15 years for my wife and I. She's back there. I love you, Denise. So if you're married this morning, just turn to your wife and say, I love you. And just let them know that, you know, today's going to be a very special day for the two of you. And may the rest of your lives together be very special. So happy anniversary, honey. And happy anniversary to everyone else who's celebrating anniversaries, which I'm sure you'll do this year. So congratulations, everyone.
I have another joy. We went to the disaster relief auction on Friday night, and I actually spent some time there yesterday morning with my grandmother, my mom, and some of my aunts. And it was just such a neat experience to see all the brethren together to support such a good cause. And it was really nice to reconnect with people I haven't seen for a long time.
A joy to share with you. I brought Gerhard home on Friday from rehab. They were going to keep him 2 weeks. And he was being Gerhard, and they wondered, just what are you doing here? Get out of here. We can't help you anymore.
I'd ask for prayers for my nephew, Brian Spiker. He had an infection in his leg and is in the hospital, and now he is having trouble eating and keeping anything down. So it's pretty serious, and we just covet your prayers for him.
This morning. Father God, we thank you for this incredible opportunity to gather as a church family, as friends, as those that may be here for the very first time. Lord, we just celebrate life. We know that we go through trials, we go through times of suffering, but Lord, we know during those times that you are near, you are with us, you are guiding the doctor's hands. We rejoice with Gerhard. He's able to come home and be in a more comfortable place than that hospital room. And so we just pray that he would continue to rehabilitate and get back to full health. And we just pray for Brian and the infection that he's enduring right now, Lord. It's a serious thing, and we just pray in Jesus' name that you would just touch that area of his body and allow that infection to be released, removed, and to cease in Jesus' name, Lord. And we just thank you, Lord, for all the marriages, all the children that represent those marriages, grandchildren that are here this morning. And we just celebrate marriage this morning, and just what a critical component of life that is as married couples, as fathers, as mothers, as we show our children, our grandchildren, what it's like to be a follower of Christ. So, Lord, we pray that we are indeed being representatives. We pray that we are showing the light. We are caring with great compassion. So, Father, you know those things in our lives that are perhaps bothering us this morning, that we struggle with, those sins that we just can't seem to let go of. So, Lord, during these next few moments of silent prayer, we pray that you would hear our heart's cry and you would just allow us to let go of those things that keep us from following you sold out. Father, we thank you for the cross. We thank you for the pain, the suffering that you endured on our behalf. So today and every day, Lord, we just surrender to you. We daily just want to give up our lives for the benefit of others, to be able to serve others. And we're so thankful to be the Church of the Brethren and be a people that are about service, that are about caring and loving. And we thank you for the disaster relief auction and other brethren benefit events across the world that unite brethren, and we come together and just help charities and help those causes that just desperately need financial support. And we think of those in Nigeria, we think of the support that's been going there, and we're not confirmed whether that an agreement has been made or not with the Boko Haram, but perhaps it has been, and we rejoice over that if that's the case. But Lord, we pray continued protection over those Nigerian women and men and children. So Father, we do just thank you for the freedom we have this morning, but not just human freedom. We thank you for the freedom that we have in Jesus Christ. And so we pray that this day and all the days of our lives, we would live free in you, avoiding sin as much as possible and clinging to that cross. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Going to put you to work for the offertory this morning. Your response will be, "His love continues forever." One practice: His love continues forever. Give thanks to the Lord because He is good. His love continues forever. Give thanks to the God of God. His love continues forever. Give thanks to the Lord of Lords.
His love continues forever.
Give thanks to the God of heaven.
His love continues forever.
Shall we bow for prayer? Dear Lord, we know our treasure is with you and it is in heaven, and that's what we strive for throughout our lives. Let us today just return a portion of our earthly treasures. Lead, guide, and direct us each day of our lives as we do your will in your way and do glory to your name. In Jesus' name, amen. Ushers may come forward.
Invite the children to join me up front here this morning. Good morning. Good morning. How are we doing this morning? You guys can sit down with me if you'd like to. Do you know what I have in my hand here? What is this called?
Ho-yo.
A ho-yo. Wait, what? What is it called?
Yo-yo.
A yo-yo. A yo-yo, and it has a string. Does anyone know what this part's called? I don't even know what this part's called. Does anyone know?
I do.
We could name it this morning. What would we like to name that part?
The wheel.
The wheel. I love it. It's the wheel. We've got the string, and we've got the wheel. Beautiful. Now, we're going to imagine the string is our life, okay? So the string is our life, and the wheel, great job, high five. That's a great, I love that. I was going to call it the ball, so the wheel is not much cooler. So the wheel this morning is going to represent God. So who wants to be my volunteer this morning? You want to be my volunteer? Can you get your finger through there? Now remember the string represents your life and the wheel represents Jesus, okay? So the wheel represents Jesus. Now you're going to stand up and you're going to just let go of your life, okay? But remember, when you let go of your life, Jesus always has a hold of it, okay? So when we let go of our lives, Jesus is going to continue to have a hold of it, and your life is not going to be let flying loose. The wheel's not going to go off the rim, if you will. So go ahead and let's see if it works. Look at that. And look at that, how it even comes back up. So as your life, as you have Jesus in your lives, and you kind of like live your life freely. Let's use the word freely this morning. Do you like the word freely? As we live our lives freely, like that string lets loose, as we hold on tightly to Jesus, we continue as we live our lives and we try to live closer to him, he draws near to us too. So you think you can get it to come all the way back up? You want to try it? Here, I'll reel it. Can I reel it in? Can I use a deep fishing term? There we go. Okay. It gets real close to coming all the way back up. We're going to imagine it came. Oh, wow, there we go. So we just ripped Jesus out of his hand there. So Jesus is still a part of your life. He won't leave you. He'll always be a part of your life. But what we need to do with our strings, right, LJ? As we have the strings in our lives here, I'll reel it back up maybe. We need to always keep Jesus in mind. So as we keep Jesus in mind, we always have a tight hold of our lives because we're in his hands, okay? Are you going to try it and try to get it back up?
Okay.
You guess? This could be dangerous. Okay. Yeah, why don't you go out there? That's fantastic. Oh, look at that. Give him a round of applause. All right. Good job, good job.
Okay, I got this one.
Your turn? Yep, you can try it too. We can all have a turn. You're going to reel the wheel back up? As you're reeling that back up, we'll pray for you guys, okay? Lord Jesus, we just want to thank you for these children. We just want to just thank you for their lives, and we just think of Jesus and just how much he loves the children. And we just pray that they would just know as they go throughout their lives that as they live it, Jesus is always connected, and we need to just reach out to him. And so we pray these children through us, as adults, as brothers and sisters, would see Jesus. So just thank you for this opportunity to be connected. And know that Jesus, as we live our lives, can allow us to be free. Amen. Good job, Graham. That was great. Look at that. See, you're still connected to Jesus. Your life and Jesus, and you're still connected. So that's our goal in life, to remain connected to Jesus. Sound good? Can we try to do that? Yeah. All right. You want to take the yo-yo? That's actually Malachi's yo-yo. So you can take that back to Malachi, okay? Say thank you, Malachi, for letting us use it. Okay. Thanks, guys. Have a great day. Okay. Go ahead. Take it back to Malachi.
Our scripture lesson for today comes from Galatians 5, verses 13 and 14. You, my brothers, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge in the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love. The entire law is summed up in a single commandment: love your neighbor as yourself.
I'm the lyrical gangster. Big up the queen of the area. Still love you like that. No, no, we don't die. Yes, we multiply. Anyone press me, they're fighting the same.
Little chuckle for us this morning. But life can certainly be a matter of perspective, can it? Some days we feel our age, and there's other days we feel like a kid again. We want to be dancing, we want to be free. It's like this minister who had been wired for sound with a lapel mic. The cord was a bit longer than usual, and as he preached, he was pacing as if dancing back and forth across the platform. He was entangling the mic cord as he went, nearly falling several times. And after several circles and twists, there was this little girl, like Tori, near the front of the church, and she leaned toward her grandmother in this case and whispered, if he gets free, will he hurt us? This morning, I want to chat about a freedom that would never do us harm. It's a freedom we discover when we break every chain of sin that strangles our lives. It's a freedom that we cling to as the missing pieces of our lives are brought back together. As those missing pieces of our lives are brought back together. As we look at the last 2 weeks, we realize how sufficient Christ is in our life, and he leads us to be free. We find our strength when we are weak. It's a freedom in Christ that unfolds more and more as we surrender daily to his plans. And what that looks like is leaving behind the old self and clinging to the new self, living freely. It's been said that to live is to choose, and to choose is to live. To live is to choose, and to choose is to live. Let's do a rewind this morning to the very first created beings. It's the man and the woman, also known as Adam and Eve. They were placed in the Garden of Eden. They had freedom to eat from every tree in the garden. Say every. Except. Except that one tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now, I'm not sure how clearer the instructions could be. We've told our own children, I'm sure at one point in their lives, not to touch the hot stove. But more times than not, what do our dear children do? They learn the hard way, get burnt, and they touch the stove. So it's from that very moment Adam and Eve are given the freedom to choose. We know from the creation story there were wild animals that the Lord God had made. In Genesis 3, the serpent is identified as the shrewdest, the craftiest of all them. And one day, he asked the woman this question in verse 1. Did God really say you must not eat the fruit from any of these trees in the garden? And immediately she had a choice. If you can snap your finger this morning, that's how quickly she had a choice. 1, 2, 3, snap your fingers if you can snap your fingers. It was that quick. Eve had to decide based on what she knows. Now in her mind, she knows that the fruit from the tree in the middle of the garden was off limits. She knows God said not to eat it or even touch it, or she will die. Not only will she die, but also her husband Adam. What more could you possibly need to say no? Did she not understand death? Was it as confusing to her as it was to me as I'm reading this text, why an animal is talking to her? Maybe that was normal. I really, really don't know. So the freedom to choose continues. The serpent responds in verse 4, "You won't die. God knows your eyes will be opened as soon as you eat it, and you will be like God, knowing both good and evil." Now it says the tree was beautiful. Its fruit looked delicious. Now, this morning, I've already learned this in Berks County. We can totally relate to this scenario. You can picture that chocolate cake with peanut butter icing, which I learned you now put applesauce on. I'll get used to that. Or that pecan pie, that apple dumpling, that molasses cookie, that slice of cherry cheesecake. I'm in. Whatever dessert it is that simply makes you weak in your cravings. And we've heard it say, "You shall not eat it, or surely you will have further complications in life." But we got a lot of nods out there. We know this. We, like Eve, know how temptations get the best of us. She takes the fruit. She eats it. Not only does she eat it, she hands it to her husband, and he eats it. Now, I love my wife. It's been 15 years, but if I have cheesecake, there's probably not a spoonful or a forkful that's going to be given to her unless it's a really admirable day like today. Doesn't she look wonderful this morning? I'll tell you. But he eats it too. So here's my only conclusion I can come up with this morning. That must have been one good-looking piece of fruit. And we know what happens next. Their eyes are opened. That first emotion they experience is shame. And then God enters the scene, and he sees their choice. And after being banished from the garden, made to have pain in childbirth, to work the ground for the food they eat, the facet of death follows. And after being made from dust, it's to dust they shall return. It all starts with the lure of the serpent, who has now been made to crawl on his belly, groveling in the dust, which is why I hate snakes. Or maybe I should hate worms. That we are invited to experience the unending quest for human autonomy and freedom. Unfortunately for most, that freedom ends in a sense of alienation. We are at a distance from who we were created to be in the likeness of our Creator. But human freedom is not the same as freedom in Christ. Human freedom is not the same as freedom in Christ. The Bible tells us that spiritually speaking, no one is free. Freedom is not so much that we can choose, but what we choose. It's not a status, but an achievement. An achievement is a goal that has been reached. A status is, I've climbed to the top of the mountain today. Facebook status. But our achievement as a follower of Christ would be walking in freedom. And we know this morning that the freedom that as a follower of Christ we are given is a gift. It's a free gift. And in one way or another, we are going to define our lives by the God, quote unquote, that we choose. Let me explain it like this. We can't serve or worship material or earthly things, such as our cars, our jobs, our homes, or even people. My wife, my children can't take the place of the one true God. When we do, however, line our lives up with the only God, it's there that we find freedom. There's a freedom from and a freedom for. Paul in Romans 6 explains that we're slaves. We're slaves to sin, or we're slaves to righteousness. Those who are slaves to sin cannot free themselves from it. But once we are freed from the penalty and power of sin through the cross, we become a different kind of slave. And in that slavery, we find complete peace. We find complete freedom. Now, I know you're looking at me this morning. That seems like a contradiction. That the only true freedom in Christ comes to those who are his slaves. And I believe that mind comes to our mind simply because the term slave has come to mean degradation. It comes to mean hardship. It comes to mean inequality. But hear me on this. Biblically speaking, true freedom for the slave of Christ is experiencing joy and peace. We'll touch that a little later in the sermon. But let's remind ourselves of another story this morning. It's good to laugh, isn't it, Richard? It's good to laugh. So there's this young man, and he decides to offer his friend a night of babysitting. It was the right time. The boys had been sent to bed, and he turns on the football game. But there's this little boy. He keeps climbing down the stairs, and the young man, enjoying his football game, keeps telling him, "You need to get back to bed." Well, it gets later and later in the night, and oddly, the doorbell rings, and there's a woman standing there. And the woman asks the young man, "Is my son here?" And the young man looks at her, confused and befuddled, perplexed, not sure how to answer. And that little boy that continues to climb down the stairs peeks over the banister and says, "Mommy, Mommy, I'm still here, but this man won't let me leave." A lot like that young man who didn't know the boy climbing down the steps belonged to another family. We sometimes confuse our identities. We confuse our identities with the world and with Christ. The word slave now becomes even more appropriate. As we conceive that which keeps us, which holds us from being totally free. Yet the word slave, when translated to mean ownership, defines us as free in belonging to Christ. When we were in eternal trouble, when the human race was cursed by God because of our rebellion, when we were destined for an eternity apart from God, Christ went to the ultimate lengths. He didn't merely offer words of condolence. He didn't just send prophets or preachers or angels to warn or comfort. In order to save us, to set us free, Christ came to live among us. Even more so, he voluntarily let God's devastating curse fall fully and completely upon himself. Because of this, we are free from sin, and we're blessed, not cursed. We're blessed, not cursed. We're blessed, not cursed. Freedom in Christ makes us shake our head in wonder, but at the same time, provides us with great appreciation. Because we know when we're living in God's will, there is tremendous freedom. Paul in Galatians 5:13 says, "For you have been called to live in freedom, my brothers and sisters. But," gotta love that word but, don't you? "But don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Instead, use your freedom to serve one another in love." And brothers and sisters of Little Swatara, we do that well. And the Lord is pleased. Continue in doing so. So Paul knows, Paul has come to know that freedom can be turned into license or the permission to sin. And so he makes it crystal clear. Everyone say, crystal clear. The obligations to being free. Freedom, Paul knows, can get abused when it becomes an excuse to indulge the sinful nature. You see, Adam and Eve's sin wreaked chaos on the entire human race. Freedom in Christ is no longer living for ourselves, but for Him who saved us. We become genuine worshipers of God as we live free and sold out for Jesus Christ. Freedom, when we come to know it, when we come to live in it, is one of the greatest blessings in life. Jesus said in Luke 4:18, He was sent to proclaim freedom for the prisoners. And in John 8:32, the truth will set you free. Adding that if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Therefore, we have exciting, wonderful, blessed news today, don't we, friends? Because of Christ, through His truth and His atoning work on the cross, we are set free from sin. Even greater news yet, we are set free for God to live lives pleasing to Him. But finding freedom requires a reference point. Someone once said that the purpose of life is not to find your freedom, but to find your master. When we find the right master, we find freedom. Friends, this morning, do we know Jesus Christ as our master? Or has this world, has these material things that have crept into our lives become our master? Only you can answer that question. So this morning, might we follow the desires of our hearts and see where they lead us as they continually entangle us through the worldly possessions we have, or do they set us free as the desires of our hearts chase after our Lord Jesus Christ? Let's pray. Father, we confess. Father, we confess that we struggle on a daily basis with who our master is. There are just so many amazing, cool things in this world that we can cling to. But when they take the place of you, Lord Jesus, we know that they become our master. We know that they become an idol and they replace you. So, Lord, you know our hearts. We pray that you would convict us. We pray, Lord, that you would bring light to those things that we find pleasure in, but they're not temporary. They permanently resided in our hearts. And we pray that we would live for that hope, for that eternal reward that results from placing you as our master, as the controller of our lives. So, Lord, this morning we pray that you would have your way with each of us. Father, there may be walls that need broken down. There may be blinders on us that we don't really see who that master is. But, Father, I pray with all my heart that our master is you. Because we know when we seek after you, we're seeking after truth. And as we seek after truth, we're seeking after that which sets us free. So, Father, we desire, we yearn, we long to be free this morning. So we pray, Lord Jesus, we pray that you would break every chain of sin that entangles us. And we pray that you would be glorified in this church, in this community, as we celebrate together in just a few hours. Lord, may you be known in this community as our master and he who which we desire to follow. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. And all God's children said, amen.
Let us rise and sing hymn number 427.
Set each of us free. May he guide you, may he direct you this very day, and may you choose Jesus as your master. Go in peace, go in joy, go in the love of Christ. Amen.